Bzzz. What's up? Roof, roof. It's us. You're high permaculture entrepreneurs, and I hope you're enjoying your day. Hope you're doing good as a human. How are you, guy, as a human?
I'm a human.
It's Tuesday morning.
I'm a he, him, human.
I'm a she, her.
I'm doing so good. Yeah, it is cold, balmy day here in Denver.
And we are just chilling. We are lucky humans. We control our time and life. And as entrepreneurs and our own bosses, we crush life every day by waking up and
we were gone for 10 days or 12 days on vacation, and we are very grateful to, just nice to come back because we just know how nice our life is.
We have a fucking badass life, and I don't necessarily, even when I'm on vacation, I was like, I don't even need this vacation, but I'm doing this because I want to be spending time with my lover, and I feel very fortunate and blessed that I get to choose how I spend my time in life. Granted, we have like $20,000 in debt, so we did pay off our credit cards last year, but then you start making decisions, and as entrepreneurs who are self-funded, sometimes you got to put on that card.
You're not going to be paying for your entrepreneurship with your cash in hand. Like, there's just too many things that you need to buy all the time.
Yeah, like, we're trying to flip this van.
Credit card. Like, you have to just put things on credit cards sometimes.
It's just a matter of, like, balancing all of it. It's hard sometimes, and you get overwhelmed. But I also only work, like, 10 hours a week coaching. your homie says he works 55 hours, like, well, I have 45 more hours I should be putting into something else. And that's where I'm like, all right, what do I want to do? And I want a podcast. I want to draw. I want to read. And at this point, it's not making me money, but it's keep making me happy. And like, that's all we have in a day. Like, you don't even have 24 hours in a day. You're sleeping. Let's say you sleep for 8. So then you're already down to 16 hours in a day. That's it. That's all you really have to give yourself. And I'm not going to get rid of my sleep time.
I love to sleep.
Yeah. So 16 hours. And it's kind of hard because it's really easy to like let that slip away, you know? Mm-hmm.
Did we do a podcast on the trip?
Yeah, we did, but it was kind of like, it kept like getting interrupted by Dave and Lauren. Shout out Dave and Lauren, our homies from the UK and Australia. And it's always really hard to podcast on a trip. Like, we were just
sitting up by the beach and
doing our thing,
trying to deal with people walking past us. We were in Jamaica for 11 days. We were in the mountains of, what was it called?
The forests of Jamaica.
I know, but what was like?
Cannon Mountain.
Cannon Mountains.
Just Cannon Mountain, not mountains.
Cannon Mountain. Shout out Zimbali Retreat. That's where we stayed for 5 days. Basically like going to your uncle's house that lives in the middle of the forest of Jamaica. Off-grid retreat. And then we spent 5 days on the 7 Mile Beach.
In a swanky resort.
In the best room of the whole spot.
Yeah, it really was. We walked into a beach ocean view little villa.
Shout out Skylark Resort.
Yeah. It was so fun. It was really nice to just get away and check out. And really, I've missed my dogs. That's like really hard for me to leave for that long. And I think the dogs were like, our dog watcher said, I think your dogs are missing you. And they probably were. They get to walk twice a day and they didn't get to go on any walks for 11 days. So they're spoiled, just like us. Overall, though, I'm so pumped on life. I like, sometimes I'm like, what am I going to do with my life? What am I going to do? But just show up. That's all that really matters, and keep trying.
Yourself.
Yeah.
You'll come across, I mean, it's basically being an entrepreneur. Like, entrepreneurs try lots of different things until something finally...
And it's okay to fail.
...hits, and same thing with life. Like, you just kind of, maybe you don't know what your path is, or you want to change paths, and you're going to have to just keep going with things until something, you come across something that sparks your interest. I mean, there's lots of things. There's a million things that we can do. Do I want to do it? No.
Yeah.
So, there's a million ways to make money and do stuff, but if you're not enjoying it, automatically my head's like, all right, well, what's the next thing? Because I don't feel like wasting time doing something I don't want to do.
That's how I feel like I could go get a part-time job right now, and I'm just like, I just don't know if I want to put, like, what would I possibly be making? Maybe $200 a month doing that part-time job? And it's like, I definitely think I'd rather put money into my, or time and effort into my creative efforts right now, even just for the next year, and see where it can go. I get really overwhelmed with the lack of, like, I guess sometimes we're not getting a response, you know? So it's like, am I just wasting my fucking time?
Response of what?
Like, just like no one follows our podcast. Like, no one goes onto our blog. Like, sometimes it gets frustrating on my end because I'm like, am I just wasting my fucking time? You know? And it's just like, there's a lot to do to get your website even seen. And like, it just said on, like, I was just looking up a new platform instead of using Anchor. Buzzsprout said 4,500 podcasts were created last week on that platform. Yeah. So I'm just saying, like, a million
podcasts every day. You have a shit ton of content. Like, most of these YouTubers have been doing it for like 5-10 years before they gain traction.
No, I know. That's why I'm not giving up, and I enjoy doing this.
Unless you're some SEO wizard to get your podcast out to the people or whatever you're selling, you have to have enough content where it's even being brought up.
I know Gary Vee was saying 4,000 pieces of content need to go out for everything you're doing.
Bring up something it's just that like, just has like two podcasts and a half developed website or something.
I know.
You're going to be at the very fucking last search on Google. You're probably never going to come up. You have to search for it.
Well, that's where I've read this SEO book, and it was helpful in a sense of giving me guidance on like why it's important to enter all the metadata and the descriptions and the keywords, and it's just overwhelming as well when I open up it and I'm like, all right, what do I need to do?
Right.
Because I didn't go to school for this, so, and that's just an excuse. Yeah, I just have to keep learning.
Yeah, school doesn't teach you anything for real life.
It really doesn't. Don't go to school if you don't have a passion. I'm going to start a new one, this one.
Well, don't go to school unless you're trying to be a doctor.
Or a lawyer.
Or a lawyer. I'm just saying, even at this point, you could probably learn everything you need to know to be a lawyer by watching YouTube videos.
I'm sure
there's lawyers telling
you have to still pass the bar.
No, I know, but I'm just saying, like, going to school is going to be a thing of the past at some point. Like,
yeah, I mean, institutionally, no, it's going to take so long.
You have to buy books in school.
I think so.
Like, that's fucking retarded.
We live in a retarded world. I am reading this sweet beekeeping book. Called, I finally got to it because I didn't bring it on my trips because it's too damn heavy. I don't like buying another version of it on Kindle, but it's called The Lives of Bees by Thomas D. Seeley. And he's teaching you about the untold story of wild honeybees. And I think the media freaks us all out about Varroa mites. And I just think, like, if we all just stopped beekeeping, all the bees would still be living in the wild just fine. We just wouldn't have honey production as much. Because like back before we started,
we're forcing the honey
before we yeah, we totally are. It's commercialized. Like we used to be called honey hunters, not beekeepers. Because you just go and find those trees, hike up there and steal some honey, and then leave the bees. And now that we have them in boxes, it's just what's causing all the disease. And it's saying that if we were to start spreading out our operations more, which wouldn't be timely or a bit like profitable probably for a commercial operation, but like there would be less sickness.
I'm just thinking about that too. I'm also wondering, what was my train of thought? I was going to relate like bees. Like if you like overeat all the time, fasting, like, you know, fasting is good for your health in terms of things. I wonder, like with production beekeeping, like just basically overfeeding bees. So they have just food all the time. Yeah. I wonder if that leads to like ill health. Cause like, just like, I'm trying to say like, what if the bees like were in the nature and they didn't have shit to eat 24/7 all the time, so they are quote like fasting sometimes. Like, does that make a healthier hive versus the hive in the backyard where you're giving it pounds of sugar every day because our season doesn't give them enough?
Yeah, it's definitely related in terms of I just think you're not getting pure honey if you're ever feeding them. Well, so right. That's the difference as
and
well.
Are you,
and like,
are you making them sicker than what they would be?
Well, I think this book alone is just saying the way we're keeping bees stacked on top of each other within like less than 2 feet apart is what's causing more disease because, yeah. In Varroa destruction, like, yeah, you can stop the Varroas with the mites, but the miticides, but like you're incorporating all these chemicals into beekeeping and it's just not natural. And I just love that all these beekeepers are like, it's natural. It's organic. And then guys reading this dope book called The Straight Method, what's it called?
Straight Path to Well.
By Chris Crone.
Straight Path to Real Estate.
Chris Croner?
Chris Crone.
But yeah, it's a great way of teaching you how to like invest in real estate and do it the right way without not using like your money, right?
I haven't got to it. I mean, yeah, it says there's all sorts of ways to buy real estate. Some work better than others, but this guy says like his path is Well, because he's saying that a lot of real estate investment paths are like, oh, like, you're going to take this high risk and you're going to get high reward, just like with, like, investing and stuff. And he's saying, like, his is just a more modest but very successful, like, path that you take and you can just keep multiplying it.
I'm excited to figure it out. I think we're going to invest in a duplex in August in New Orleans.
We'll see. I'm just saying, if you can buy a house, which is an asset, which will, if you buy the right one or property, it'll appreciate, so you'll be making money on it if you can maintain it and keep it. And if you can have a property that you make a few hundred bucks every month, just even if it was $200 a month you make off house because your mortgage and...
Well, we were headed that direction with the condo. We just made a decision to sell it.
Well, and that, yeah, and that, we said it wasn't going to be our last one, but I'm just saying, if you made a few hundred bucks a month from a piece of property, and so that's a few thousand dollars in the year, and if you do that, you know, you do that a handful of times, or, you know, some of these guys have 5, 10, 20, 50 properties. So, you know, you got 10 properties that are making $500 a month. It's $5,000 a month you're making, like, off these properties. Plus, you probably have a couple $1 million in assets from the property that you bought.
True. I'm excited to learn more. I'm going to read that, my B book, and then read that book. And then we're going to go for it.
Every wealthy person will say that investing in real estate is the most sure way that all rich people stay rich. It's not crypto. It's not
stock market.
401ks.
And if you're an entrepreneur, you're not going to have a 401k, so that doesn't exist. You can set up a retirement income account, RIA. Right?
Well, I don't know if he talks about in this, but Chris Cromwell has talked so hard about investing in life insurance policies and using that to...
I tried to find one. They don't exist. I want to know what's special. Because even in their videos, they say special life insurance policy. I reached out to my investing dude, financial investor, and he's like, those don't exist.
Well, Chris Cromwell says that most investors won't even say that, like, either they don't know about it or they, like, say it's not, like, a thing.
Well, he said he searched hundreds of different insurance policies, and he found us one, and it didn't allow us to pull anything for over a year.
But even still, like, I know your goal is, like, whatever they said, pull.
Well, he said within the days. Yeah. So I'm just saying his advice is bullshit.
We don't need. Why do we need to pull money in 30 days? That's ridiculous. I'm just saying it was like.
I know, but if you're trying to follow his method and you don't have an insurance policy that's allowing you to do it, it's like, well, does it even exist? Is what I'm getting at, because like. My fiduciary went and tried to find what I asked for, and he didn't come back with it. I'm willing to ask someone else because he's an old school Southern boy.
I'm just saying, being able to pull out money in the year is still pretty quick. I'm sure there's maybe a better way to set up something if you have the guy that's like his jam, as he sets up these custom.
Well, aren't you talking to that dude today?
Who? At one.
Well, maybe you ask him about that.
About what?
The life insurance thing. Say I watched all your videos and I tried finding a life insurance policy that allows me to. Do it, and I couldn't find one.
Well, I'm sure you pay for that information.
Maybe he'll say you got to pay for that information. You can still ask him the question.
Yep.
I think, though, we are, like, pretty fucking lucky that we get to decide every day what we want to do. Yeah. And that's, like, the difference, I think, between someone who works a 9-to-5 and an entrepreneur and someone who gets stuck in the jam and is afraid to get out.
Well, you're too busy keeping the ball rolling that you can't keep your mind on what you want to do or what are the goals.
I was just thinking about your friend who does the heavy machinery, which is a really, really good paying job, but he like has to work 66 hours a week, you said? 55?
I think 58, he said.
Which is a lot. That's more than a 9-to-5. Yeah. But then he randomly has a 2-week vacation because the job fell through with his work. And I'm like, that's cool that you get 2 weeks off, but also you're like...
Well, he didn't get paid.
Yeah, he didn't get paid, but...
He just got a job from DIA for when it snows. They have, like, pop people that come... Because he can't work the forklifts when it snows.
Yeah.
So on those days, technically, he can go plow.
Oh, that's cool. I mean, that's resourceful. He's finding, like, things he can do when he doesn't have time. That's also, like, he's also kind of, in a sense, working for himself. Because he's like, hey, I can do this when I'm not working for this job. Side hustles are super important. And even if some of your side hustles aren't working, if it's making you happy, then I'm so for it. And that's like what bees are to me. I'm excited to see where it goes this year because like, I don't think the pollination service is what's keeping me happy with bees. You know what I'm saying? Like just the bees are. So it's like, I'm just going to go catch a hive and call it a, like, if I catch one hive, like, that's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. I can catch two. Awesome. I'll put one up, one in the rack yard and one up the street and call it a fucking day. And then I know I have a paying client in Littleton with Carol, and she has technically two hives that could be alive, but I don't know. They could have died. And if they died, I don't know if I'm going to keeping for her because it's so far away. And same with the long lot. I'm going to drive out there, and if they didn't survive, I think I'm done. It's just too much driving. It doesn't make sense for what I want out of bees. Yeah. And I would really prefer they're out on our land. It's an extra 20 minutes to drive that way instead of the long lot, but like, if we start having a retreat out there, I think it'd be super cool to have bees out there and be a part of, like...
It's also way less windy probably everywhere else except our property.
I know.
And that's not going to help bees overall as being windy as fuck.
I know, but I really want to... I was thinking about the prairie. I think we should look more into, like, just scattering seeds like Fukuoka out there. With the color... Like, the clay-covered seeds and spending, like, a weekend just doing that, like, once a season. Uh-huh. Or a couple times a season. And just like restoring the prairie.
What if we made a poop house out there that the bees are in, but it's just like basically walls with no top? Like, would bees be able to like fly? Like, so like basically there's no winds hitting it from the side. It would just be going over the top. But like, would the bees be able to like fly up and then like basically over the wall and then down to the hive? That's a potential. Basically, just take off the plastic over like the hoop section, and so there's like whatever, like a 4-foot wall.
Well, why don't we just use the other one? It doesn't even have the plastic wrap. It's a pain in the ass to move it.
Yeah.
Or take it down. Why don't we just make that little apiary? Be kind of cool.
Well, I guess it depends where the winds... Well, you would cover all sides. But, I mean, that could be a way of giving them, like, a windbreak and actually making it livable out there. But, I mean, I'm saying there's really not much... Like, compared to being in a city, like, do they really have much to forage on out there?
I mean, we've only done 1 year of beekeeping out there, and they were bringing in pollen, and they made honey, like, considering that they did die, but that bomb cyclone came through.
Yeah.
So, I'm totally in of trying one more, like, a few more times out there. It's all a trial and error. But that's why I'm saying maybe we spend the next few years scattering more seeds so there are more wildflowers and stuff out there that are going to just take to the prairie. Like, don't try planting apple trees out there. That was stupid.
Yeah.
Maybe in 10 years after stuff gets more established, but, like, there's nothing out there right now.
Right.
And then I think that I'm just excited about getting the tiny house ready. I was, like, it says, like, write down your top 5 goals for the year. Like, to write down all your goals for the year, but then figure out what your top 5 are. And I think for sure mine are, like, doing the yoga every day. That's mine. Number 2 was getting the tiny house ready. Number 3 is the van. Number 4 was potentially like pizza party stuff or just getting the backyard all ready, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think like number 5 is like FBA and like, there's just like at least 6 or 7 because I was like, and I want to buy a duplex. Like, I just think like if we have the money to put down on an investment, let's do it. And honestly, we got to a point in our home equity. I think we could pull, if we wanted to, we could get a HELOC and pull money out of our home. Yeah. If we didn't have access to your inheritance.
Right.
Okay. It's crazy that some humans have inheritance and others don't. It's just like we all are in different positions. And that's like with Zimbali and that bad review he got about being a rich white dude. It's like he's just, like, I don't think he's a rich white dude. I think he's making... more money than other people.
In Jamaica for like 17 years. Like, there's no such thing as a rich. Like, they're like guaranteed. The nicest house we saw in the jungle was this decent looking house, and it wasn't even finished. But like, that was by far every other house. Like, that was a house, and then everyone else was living in a shack.
Like our shed out back, with a light bulb. So I'm saying, and he did that for 3 years. So, like, to call him a rich white dude, and he only funded the Zimbali with the Living Social thing. Like, he didn't have $80,000.
Right.
So, like, that bitch of a review, she didn't even have she had no history.
She didn't know, and she was writing about...
And that's the part that pisses me off, is that people start making these comments and don't even have, like, any knowledge of what you just experienced. And, like, partially that is Zimbali's to blame. I was telling Dr. Barber, like, just have a history of Zimbali sign.
Right.
That when a tour gets failed and that shit doesn't get brought up, people can go still find out all about Zimbali.
Yeah.
And like in my, I'm still working on that email. I'm going to send it to him being like, here are a few suggestions I really think will make you never get a bad review again.
Yeah. Will improve like a person's experience like with tenfold. No extra work. Because like, no one wants to have to explain the story every time someone comes in every day. So you have to have a video or a write-up where you have a couple photos of the first spot you're in and then went from this. And
yeah.
Like
it would just be so much badass. Like that 10-minute conversation we had with him changed my entire like perspective of the time. Like I knew, that's what I thought about the property before, but when I heard it again, it was just cool to hear the, like how he got from here to there.
The 2,000 trees there.
And it doesn't say it anywhere in the property. And that's like, honestly, walking down to the farm, there should be like signs that just say, weed farm this way. We grow over 150 plants. Like bees up there. Like they just forage. We don't really do much. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like there could be so simple signs. Bamboo sanctuary up the way. Pineapples growing to the right. And like, they could even put like a sign where he was pointing at all the trees. That sign could be like, we've planted over 2,000 trees and like list the varieties. Mm-hmm. And then also say, to the left is a giant kneesberry. Here's a giant jackfruit. Like I got all these ideas, but whether they implement them or not, that's like also the Jamaica lazy like right. mentality is like, we already got it done. We're good. We got bookings. Why the fuck does it matter?
Well, I was thinking that just getting enough bookings for this, it's been rolling for whatever, 13 years.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's crazy though, 10 years ago, we were looking at, like, we found that place and it really didn't, like, kind of exist.
It was a few years in, so I wonder how many, like, cabins they had at that point.
I think only a couple. I think he had, like, his the one that we stayed in, and then the main house, and then, like, one more. And then, like, all of them just kept getting built. I kind of wanted to see their room. Obviously, they don't need to show us their house part, but, like, that, I want to know how, like, the five of them were all sleeping in there.
Yeah.
Was it, like, in the same room? I mean, or did they all get their own little separate spot?
Rooms in there, unless they have the top and the bottom of that.
I think they do. But it was super special. Well, what do you got planned today, babe?
I'm going to read, and I'm going to make the pill shape on this table.
Nope. You're going to cut it?
Well, it's already cut to size in terms of a rectangle, but I'm using this circle jig to make the...
Nice. So I thought something's going to keep... You're not just, like, drawing on it or something? No. I wasn't sure how it was going to... Yeah. How you're doing
you
it.
You attach your router to this jig, and then you fix the jig into one point, so then it's...
Makes sense.
Makes a perfect arc.
Yeah. Cool. I'm excited for you. I think I'm going to read and draw and send out an email to all of our clients for tomorrow. And... We were going to go snowboarding, but we've just been kind of, like, whatever about snowboarding this year. I do want to go, though. We're going to go, not today, but I would say let's go Monday. Okay. You down?
Yeah.
I know we said we were going to go today, but.
Well, we have next week off.
We got next week off, and we should probably, I was thinking maybe go up Sunday to your parents, mm-hmm. and then hike Monday Breck. But we also haven't been to Loveland, so.
Yeah, I'm paid for it.
Yeah, might as well just go to Loveland. What else? What's the cool fucking permaculture fact of the day, babe?
That's a hard thing. Just we don't discuss it beforehand. We've given out a lot of facts.
Well, we gotta know something about food. Here we go. Rocky Mountain Vegetable Gardening Book. Beets. Direct seed or transplant, either, but it's usually directly seeded. Did you know that? Fun facts. Since the very ancient Greeks and Romans did not mention beets in their writings, they are probably of fairly recent origin. The Roman author and naturalist Pliny recommended that people eat a roasted beet to sweeten their breaths, and the Greeks offered them in silver bowls to Apollo. Beets were used as medicine in the 2nd century AD and eaten as food by the 3rd century. Roman gardeners selected both red and white rooted types for the table. Beets were first grown for cattle feed in northern Europe. Then around 1400 AD, the author of an English cookbook mentions beets grown for the table, and they soon became widely grown in Europe, beginning in Germany by 1558. They were known as Roman beets. They're grown in the U.S. by 1800.
Woo! Thanks, babe.
I know. Cool.
That was enough facts out of that book.
I think so. Plant your beets. When do we sow beets here? Spring?
What do you think?
Right in the beginning of spring?
Beginning and end of the season.
Beginning and end, you said?
Yeah.
But like, Ed, then, like, how many days does it take? Like 45 to 60?
You look at the seed pack and see what it says. Probably takes, yeah, 40 to 60 days.
Hell yeah. All right, grow your beets. Get beat up.
Get beat up.
Have a great day. Oh, this podcast is sponsored by Cultivated Hemp Company, the best CBD in the whole damn planet. If you haven't had CBD yet, you're killing yourself, man. You got to be kidding me. We have cannabinoid receptor systems in our body, and CBD goes right to them and helps you feel like a good, healthy human. So put it in your coffee and take it every day. Go to cultivatedhempcompany.com and use the code BOOM25 with all caps and get 25% off. And if you really want to look cool, go hit up our homie National Disgrace Griff Nation, and he's got the streetwear to keep you looking as cool as a lion. National_disgrace on Instagram, and his code is BOOM20. And you get 20% off any of his hats and clothing, streetwear designs. Boom. Have a good day. Oh, and I also like to mention our own shit. Go to aboomlife.com. Buy our ebooks. Buy our salves. Buy a cutting board. You enter to win a free cutting board. You follow us on our guys' page at carbon_base_designs. And enter to win this March's charcuterie ambrosia maple board, number 5. Boom. Have a good day.